want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm glad you've joined me for today's lesson. Today's a red letter day for the Cooper family, because I've been working on trying to figure out my way through an adoption, and we're still very much in the early stages of that, but we got approved today for a foster kid to be able to start living with us, and that's an exciting step on our journey. So glad to be able to be with you now, and it's been an exciting day so far. Today we're talking about something that's a little bit unusual. We're talking about how you can become the difference maker for your team, even if you're not the boss. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. 400 years ago, John Knox said, "You cannot antagonize and influence at the same time." It's so true. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the influence skills that are going to help you figure out whether you're antagonizing or influencing. These are skills that are going to help you today and every day. And my goal is to give you access to the thinking, the ideas, and examples that can help you learn faster and grow faster than other people, and be prepared when opportunities come to you. There's more to being successful than just what you know. Having people skills and having tools that will help you are critically important, and these things, the great news is these things are available. They are available if you'll take advantage of them. And I know that if you can apply what we're talking about, you're going to have big wins. Now, I always ask, how are you going to act at the end of this session? A, apply. What can you apply? What's something you can use from our session today? C, what's something based on what we talk about that you can change in the way you do things? And T, what can you teach? What can you take from this lesson and share with other people? We want to be a river, not a reservoir. What can you share with somebody else? Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson, and I look forward to it because I love this stuff. It's enriching and exciting for me to be able to encourage other people to be a catalyst, the reason for the change that happens in a team. As a teacher, I can't get enough of helping people to have that light bulb light up and make that happen. And you can do that. People do need your help, and you can be the person who makes that happen. Now, in the next few minutes, we're going to be unearthing some really valuable stuff. And when it comes to being a difference maker, somebody who really inspires other people and through inspiring them makes a difference on the team, if you do that with just one person, it'll light you up in a big way. And you might want some help moving forward with this at the end of today's lesson. And if that's you, stick around. I promise I will help you with a way you can do that. So shall we jump in? Now, recently I've been talking about connecting with other people and how human connection is the heart of all productive work. Today's lesson is related because we're going to be talking about how you personally can be the difference maker on your team by inspiring your team members. You have the power to inspire your team members when you meet their needs, their unmet needs. And we talked about that a little bit in the lesson on connecting with people. I want to go further in today's lesson. What is the difference between people who ultimately succeed and people who do not? I really believe it comes down to what Henry Ford said. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you are right. And what makes the difference between whether you think you can or think you can't? Now, this is going a little deep, but I want you to stick with me on this, because the difference between whether you think you can or think you can't is what you believe about yourself. What you believe about yourself. Your belief that you can do it makes the difference. If you believing in your ability is what inspires you to get up in the morning. Your underlying belief that you can do it is what makes it possible for you. Now, if you believe you can teleport yourself or fly like a bird using just your arms, you can't do those things. But what if? What if there was a way to do something like those things? What if your passion and belief drove you to try? Look at the Wright brothers. They worked on the problem of powered manned flight. You know I love those guys. They were scoffed at. Nobody believed it was even possible to do. Even one of them said, "The problem of powered manned flight is so difficult that man will not fly for 1,000 years. 18 months later, they flew. And what about running a mile in less than 4 minutes? Impossible, until Roger Bannister did it. Our ability to conceive of things and our belief that we can achieve them leads to us actually doing it. American poet Edgar Guest wrote a poem called It Couldn't Be Done, and one portion of that poem goes like this. Somebody said that it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he'd tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hit it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. The person who believes it can be done has a much greater chance of actually doing it. So what in the world does that have to do with a lesson I've called the difference maker? If your performance is tied to your belief, doesn't it follow that your team's performance is tied to what they believe about themselves? And what role can you play in helping them be the best them they can be? I'm talking about the reality of you helping your team members, whether they report to you or whether your leadership role is an informal one. You're not really the boss. You're just somebody who has a positive impact on them. Helping them by giving them exactly what they need. So what do they need? John Maxwell says that our human needs include recognition, belonging, encouragement, positive self-worth, perspective, and most importantly, hope. Now, time does not permit me to speak on each of these topics, but in the next few minutes, I want to talk about encouragement and hope. Let's start with hope. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Let me assure you that your team members feel overwhelmed sometimes, too. If you want to be the difference maker on your team, you need to be able to offer them hope. I'm reminded of a story about a farmer who used to hitch up his old mule to a two-horse plow every day and say, "Get up, Beauregard. Get up, Satchel. Get up, Robert. Get up, Betty Lou." And one day his neighbor, hearing the farmer, said, "How many names does that mule have?" "Oh, he only has one. His name is Pete, but I put blinders on him and call out all the other names so he will think that other mules are working with him. He plows much better when he has hope he's not doing it all on his own." Isn't that true for us? Don't we need help and hope? Aren't there times where you feel so discouraged you think, "What just can't be done?" Can you remember a time when someone gave you a positive word, shared some of their hope with you? We all face disappointment and discouragement. That's a part of life. For some of us, the way we were raised contributes to our beliefs. When we begin to take something on, we might hear the voices of family members. Maybe it was mom or dad or a well-intentioned grandmother saying, "Better safe than sorry." Maybe you heard, "Nobody in our family ever goes to college," or, "Who do you think you are wanting to live like that?" Or, "Why would you reject your family like that? We're not those kind of people." Even if you didn't have those kinds of voices in your life, and perhaps, and this is more likely, perhaps for you, it's a voice that says, "I can't do it. Who do I think I am?" Or that internal voice that says to you, "Well, you tried that and failed. You really want to try that again?" For many of us, the still, small voice or the raging, screaming voice in our heads is constantly telling us we can't do it. Evangelist D.L. Moody famously said, "If I could kick the person most responsible for my troubles, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a week." I just sat down with my niece the other day. She's in college, and we talked about her long-term plans, her hopes for achievement. And whenever she would allow herself intellectually to get a little bit closer to a big, hairy, audacious goal, some massive thing she'd like to achieve, she would literally react physically. She'd pull back, and her voice would get quiet. And I asked her, "What if? What are you afraid of?" And she said out loud, "What if I die?" We were not talking about skydiving or scuba diving in underwater caverns. We were talking about classes and career options for a very bright, very capable young woman. And her voice in her head said, "I might die." This was not a one-time fleeting thought for her. It was a part of her recurring reality. And I'll bet that there are things that you say to you that you would never tolerate others saying to someone you dearly loved. The fact is, the people around you often say those negative things to themselves. Now, you can't fix that, but what if you could offer them some hope that they could be successful? What if you were in a place where your team members could find hope? What if you were that place, that person, that encourager around them? Napoleon said, leaders are dealers in hope. And what if you became that person who could be relied on to offer hope, even when things looked grim? But I want to take a moment to talk about why we might not be that source of hope. You might be stealing hope from others and not even know you are doing it. How you feel about the other person directly affects how you act, even if you're convinced you're hiding how you feel. If you're convinced that the other guy is a bozo, you'll dismiss them. And not only that, but your attitude toward them is going to be negative, too. If you really feel like the other person has nothing good to offer, you are going to communicate that clearly, both in your words and in your body language. But what if your assessment of that person is wrong? What if they actually have some great insights, and those insights are hidden by the occasional dopey things they say or do? And remember that we all say or do dopey things sometimes. Maybe you've just seen them when they were at their worst. Let me ask, have you ever made a mistake? You said or did something embarrassing, perhaps completely innocently, but you messed up big time? I know you have. We all have. And then have you ever looked back on that time and criticized yourself? I have. We all do that too. In fact, just about everybody you meet has a constantly running series of messages playing on repeat in their subconscious, telling them they're not smart enough, they're not liked enough, they're not good enough, they make all kinds of mistakes, they're unworthy, and on and on and on and on. And what if you were the one person in the life of another person who expressed hope for them, who communicated that they have potential, who communicated that they can achieve? Dale Carnegie talked about how you see someone affects them when he famously said, give a dog a bad name and you might as well hang him. If you constantly tell your pet they're bad or wrong or communicate anger toward your pet, you're going to get a lot more bad behavior. The same is true with people. Criticizing just does not work. One philosopher said, treat a man as he appears to be and you make him worse, but treat a man as if he already were what he potentially could be and you make him what he should be. Hope is a powerful gift we can give to other people. What if you were the person who constantly, intentionally looked for good in people? What if you were the one who spotted the potential in others? What if you were known as the most encouraging person around? That's what happened to a man from Cyprus named Joses. Joses was so positive, so helpful, that the people around him gave him a nickname. The nickname they called him was Son of Encouragement, or Encourager. What if you saw so much potential in others, so much hope for them, and you were so encouraging that when people thought of you, they thought of encouragement? That's why we don't remember the name Joses. But as we look in the Bible, we see how influential the man called Barnabas was. And I'll suggest to you that one reason he was a difference maker and was called Son of Encouragement was because he made it a practice to look for things he could be positive about. What if that person who is nothing special today turns out to have incredible hidden talents? Let me tell you a true story about a young man, a young boy named Tommy. Tommy had a really hard time in school. He constantly asked questions that frustrated the teachers, and he never could quite keep up. It seemed everything Tommy tried to do, he failed at. His teacher finally gave up on him and told his mother he could not learn and he would never amount to much in life. But Tommy's mother believed in him. She taught him at home, and each time he failed, she gave him hope, and she encouraged him to keep trying. Now, whatever happened to Tommy? Tommy became an inventor. He eventually held over 1,000 patents, including one for the phonograph, and the first commercially practical electric light bulb. His full name was Thomas Edison. When people have hope, you can't possibly know how far they could go. Why not become that person who gives hope to others? And now I want to take just a couple of minutes and talk to you about encouragement. One of my favorite quotes is from the founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy. He said, "How do you know if someone needs encouragement? If they are breathing." I heard a story about a woman who moved to a small town, and shortly after her arrival, she complained to her new neighbor about the poor service she received at the local drugstore. She really was hoping that her neighbor would report her complaints to the owner of the store. The next time she went to the store, the druggist greeted her with a big smile, told her how happy he was to see her again, and said he hoped she would like their town. He offered himself as a resource to her and her husband as they got settled. He took care of her order quickly and efficiently. Now, later, the woman talked to her neighbor about the incredible change in service. "I suppose you told him how poor I thought the service was?" she asked. "Well, no," the neighbor said. "In fact, and I hope you don't mind, I told him you were amazed at the way he had built up this small town drugstore, and you thought it was one of the best drugstores you'd ever seen." Now, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting how the situation changed, not because of a complaint, but from compliments? Now, I'm not advocating that you do as the neighbor did, because lying is not a good way to work. But what I will say is that people will respond differently to you when you encourage them rather than criticize them. Now, I want to be cautious here, too, because I'm not talking about flattery. Flattery's nonsense. Anyone content to receive false praise and be puffed up because of flattery alone, they're not strong enough to be a great team member. We are definitely not talking about flattery. But helping your team members believe the best about themselves is a huge factor in their success or their failure. Years ago, I was overseeing a team of technology people, and I had a stack of sticky notes printed with my name on them. And occasionally, I would remember that a team member had done something good, and I would recognize them for going above and beyond, that they'd done a good job with something. And usually, it was something small, but I made a point of being specific about the thing they had done, and I'd write a short note saying, "Thanks for the way you handled that problem with X. I love that Gene was so satisfied with the solution you came up with," and I'd sign my name. Now, I would take those sticky notes and I would just put them in the middle of the monitor, computer monitor, on my team member's desk. Now, when I'd remember to notice and then make the time to write the note, the whole process maybe took me a minute. Now, those notes would be spotted by my team members. I mean, I put them right in the middle of their computer screen, right? So, and they would be removed from the screen. But you know what? I cannot tell you how many of those sticky notes were still sticking to the frame of that team member's monitor years later. One moment of noticing and commenting, giving handwritten praise, led to years of encouragement for my team members. It's funny, I had a conversation just this last week with one of my former team members. He and I have not spoken. I think it probably has been 10 years. Since he and I last spoke. 10 years. He has warm feelings toward me today, partially because of the encouragement that I was able to offer him when we were working together. This type of encouragement is profoundly valuable. Who can you encourage today? Now, it's almost time for your personal action plan, and as you're getting ready for that, I want to share some ideas with you about how you can be the difference maker, how to be the person who's known for hope and encouragement. First, commit yourself to choosing to be the difference maker. Don't just show up and respond to what's happening. Go in and be a difference maker. So you're going to choose to be a difference maker. Secondly, believe in other people. Don't just see them where they are today. They've got potential and you can look for it. Help them to see it. People rise or fall by the expectations of the people closest to them. Give your people hope and trust, and they will do everything they can to keep from letting you down. Now, you want to invest time in others. You can't influence them from a distance. You cannot connect with others unless you invest time in them. Once they begin to believe in themselves, they won't need as much time with you, but it is an investment at first. Choose to invest and look for improvements. Praise every improvement and add more encouragement as they make progress. Give people opportunities to excel. When they try and they succeed, it makes a huge difference in their self-esteem and the way they see themselves. Give people opportunities. You support them as they try things and help them see how successful they can be. They need to know that your goal is to see them getting better and better until they reach their potential. Hope and encouragement. These are the critical components of being a difference maker. So I'll leave this lesson today with one question for you. What if? What if? What if? So what's your one idea that you can apply or change or teach? What are you going to do with today's lesson? Now, I mentioned early in the lesson that I've got an opportunity to help you more directly on this particular thing. If this is something that interests you, I've got a 4-session coaching program based on John Maxwell's book, Becoming a Person of Influence. It's where I found some of the ideas for today's lesson. It's where you'll find a treasure trove of ideas and help as you work to become a difference maker. It's a great resource on being a difference maker, and I'd love to do that with you. Cost is $249 for the 4-session coaching program. I think you will find it amazingly valuable. Sound interesting? Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thanks for being here, and I look forward to seeing you next time.